All right, hey, what's up, guys? We have Laurel Kasser here to talk about astrology. So how's it going today, Laurel? How you doing?
It's going great. I've had a busy day. Saw some clients, read some charts. It's been great.
Yeah, cool. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, since this is the first time I've met you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Laurel. I live in North Carolina. And I am a professional astrologer and intuitive alignment life coach. And basically what that boils down to is that I help people decondition from the like cookie cutter prescriptions of what life should be in order to help them align with their inherent energetic blueprint and live in alignment with themselves, you know, and just enjoy their own life and optimize their relationship with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know too much about astrology at all. But it is something that I'm interested in, and I've been wanting to have someone come on who, I guess, just like, you know, more or less like explain it to me. To be honest with you, I personally have some doubts, I guess you can say. So maybe you can like clarify, how it works or whatever. And if it's like, you know, so I guess I hope this isn't like too strong or whatever, but first of all, so how does it work? Like, how does it work? First of all? Yeah.
Isn't that the biggest question of all?
Yeah.
Well, to be totally honest with you, we as humans right now do not know the technicalities on how it works and the mechanics under which it works, but it is highly observable. And I've been witnessing astrology play out in my life for decades now. So although we don't have the technical terminologies, I guess, for how energy on such a large scale impacts us, there is some baseline concepts that I hold when I'm practicing and introducing topics of astrology to people. So pardon me, I'm going to grab my water real quick.
No problem.
Thank you. So I guess the first thing to understand about astrology is that it's not so much, in my opinion, something that is really like you believe in it or you don't believe in it, more so you understand it or you don't understand it. It's kind of like the way we say, I don't speak Spanish. You know, we don't say I don't believe in Spanish. It still exists and is still like a valid form of language and interpretation. We just don't understand it if we don't understand it. You know what I mean? And so I find that astrology works in a really similar way, where it is kind of this energetic language, where there's symbols that can represent energy rather than words, you know? And so we know that everything in existence is made of energy. Like matter is made of energy. Energy propels the universe forward, and no matter how you look at it, right? Like it's just things exist and things are made of matter, and matter is made of energy. So we know that that is something that is just there, inherent, happening. And so the idea that I function on with astrology is that when we were born, the very, very, very first thing that we did before we did anything else at all was we went, and then we start crying, right? So in that first moment, that breath is the very first autonomous thing that we do. Independent. No one else is breathing for us at that point. Like we've taken a breath for the first time. And in that moment, we're kind of breathing in the entire universe, really, of energy as it exists right then and right there in that moment in time. And when we do that, we're breathing in all of this energy, and it kind of like imprints on us all of the potentials of that moment there, because that was our first little slice of life, our first autonomous action as individuals in this greater realm we find ourselves in outside of our mother's womb of protection, you know? And so that energy imprints on us, and we carry that with us through our lives. And we kind of become these like little energetic timestamps walking around, interacting with each other, each one of us having our own little pool of possibilities and potentials that energetically align with that moment that we were born. And we tend to experience a lot of our life through that lens under which we took that first action in our first emergence and our first entrance. And we kind of carry it out and it unfolds and unravels through our lives as we live them ourselves.
Yeah. So yeah, I am like a total novice, and I kind of like coming into podcasts that way, because then you can like kind of explain to me how it all works. But it's all kind of, what I do know is that it's all kind of based, like you just said, based on when you were born. And then that has to do kind of like with the stars and the planets and all that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like when you were born, mainly the month, right? Just the month that you were born in.
Oh, hell no, buddy. It's so much more intricate than that. The minute you were
down
born.
Down to the minute.
Very much so. Yeah. Okay. You're breathing in all of that energy as it was in that moment that you took that first breath. And that moment is what impacts on you, what imprints on you. The sky is constantly changing, which is why we all have very different experiences and manifestations in our own lives. But it's down to the minute that you were born.
Yeah, but astrologers in general have like names for the months, right? Like Capricorn.
Yeah, those are signs.
Libras. Okay, those are signs. Mm-hmm. So do you kind of like have all the knowledge for the literal minute? So if I was going to you, you would, and I would tell you exactly when I was born, like you would know exactly, you know, kind of like.
Well, I mean, I have software that pulls up the maps of the sky, but yeah, if you gave me your birth date, your birth time and your birthplace, I would be able to pull up that chart and see this entire energetic blueprint for your basic disposition, experiences, perspectives, strengths, weaknesses, challenges. It's essentially an owner's manual for our own lives.
Okay, cool. So let's go back a little bit and so how did you get into it? And then what kinds of things do you have to do to be able to like practice it or whatever?
So I've been an astrologer for 12 years now. I started my practices about 12 years ago. I was at a place in my life where I didn't feel like I had a very great grasp on myself, on what I was doing, on who I was. I was recently out of a 3-year long distance relationship, and I felt like I had really lost myself in the sauce of that relationship. And after it was over, I was like, well, who am I though? Like what makes me me? And I didn't feel like I knew a whole lot about myself at that point. So I kind of went back to what I did know about myself, which was that my name was Laurel and I was born April 8th, and that made me an Aries. And I had always identified with the Aries traits and characteristics. And I was like, let me go back to that baseline to like remind myself of who I was, to kind of like get a jump start and be like, well, I once identified with those qualities and characteristics. Maybe if I return back to them, I can try to like find it in myself again, you know? And then I entered the rabbit hole, the wormhole, if you will, and learned that you can have the moon in a certain sign, you can have Venus in a sign, that Saturn was somewhere, that all of these big archetypal energies were all located somewhere in the sky. And all of that helped to answer a lot of questions that I had about myself. It helped me to understand myself in ways that I had never previously engaged or interacted with my own emotional landscape or mental processes, by kind of helping to define some of the bigger roles and traits and characteristics of these energies that I identified with but didn't have words for at different points in my life. And so it really just opened up the floodgate for me to interact with myself in new ways. And then immediately I was like, holy shit, if this is what it can do just for me to understand myself more, I can definitely use this to help me understand other people and hopefully one day help them understand themselves. And that's kind of how I got down the rabbit hole and never quite surfaced for air from it after that. And what was your second question? That was how I got into it.
Like how you get into being able to like practice it.
Well, it's an unregulated field at this time because most of the societal collectives do not understand the nuances that this is a system and not necessarily a belief system, but it's a thought system, you know? So we're considered to be a fringe or a pseudoscience by much of the mainstream society, which is like, okay, I get it. I get why. I see why. But once you start studying it, it's pretty undeniable that there are correlations and patterns in things. And astrology is primarily like studying patterns. So you kind of, you learn, you grow, and you get brave and start putting yourself out there eventually. It took me probably about 9 years into studying before I was like, okay, I can do this for real, for real. It took a lot of bravery on my part to feel like I knew enough to be a valuable asset in this field. Even though I knew a lot and honestly should have started practicing much sooner, but imposter syndrome is very real across all fields, I think. So no exception over here, but got brave and made it my life's work. And it's going well.
Yeah. And I was going to say before, like, if it works, it works. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really necessarily have to, there are a lot of different religions or whatever, meditation or whatever people do, yoga, that makes them feel better. And if it makes you feel better, then, you know, it works. But like in terms of like the history and or science to it, like I said, I know very little about it. In terms of like when you're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with someone or whatever, like, is there, what's just like the background to astrology? Like, do you know a lot of the background to it? In terms of like how they came up with it and all that?
Yeah, I mean, astrology is one of the most ancient forms of science there is. You can throw finger quotes on that if you want or not, but it is an original system. It dates back to about 5,000 years ago in ancient Babylonia. I think we're the first star systems. I mean, it started because people noticed that there were stars. And, you know, there was lots of stories and myths told about stars before there were, you know, any kind of technology available. People were telling stories about stars because that's what they did at night. That was what was available to them. And so they started to notice, obviously, like changes in the sky. And then they started to plot those changes in the sky and notice that there were correlating events that were occurring, that when the sun happened to be in that section of the sky, they noticed X, Y, and Z would happen repetitively. Like, they started to observe the patterns, and that's how they kind of got born. And then there was obviously the Hellenistic periods in Greece and Rome, where astrology was very much a massive part of the culture. I mean, all of the philosophers, politicians, war leaders, they were all had astrologers or were astrologers. And if you were a mathematician, you were also an astrologer. And if you were an astronomer, you were also an astrologer. And it was very prevalent in the high society of those times because they would use astrology to help them make predictions about like wars and harvests and other kinds of socio-political movements that they would do. They would plot them by the sky. And it really wasn't until the rise in Christianity and the tightening like grip of theocracy in the times of like the Crusades, where anything that was considered divinatory or fortune telling was bad and had no place in those current systems that were taking over a lot of the, at least Europe esque Western cultures at those times. And so a lot of astrology and other like non-Judeo-Christian texts were burned, and it was given the kind of reputation that it has, is recovering from presently. there, and that's like a little bit of its history there. But it used to be like astronomy was actually, I believe, created as a form to get a better grasp on astrology. Like they needed to be able to predict and map these cycles so that they can make better interpretations, which is how they started studying the lengths of time that it took celestial bodies like move across the sky and do their thing, you know?
Yeah. And is it correlated at all with like, you know, being like a psychic or like a medium? Like, are those kind of intertwined at all, or are those completely separate?
Not necessarily. They don't have to be. That's one of the things I actually love most about astrology. It's a very practical spiritual tool. Like, you do find it a lot in the spiritual or the woo communities. And I myself am quite a spiritualist, but I like to take a very practical approach to astrology. It's something that we can use to help us understand things in our lives. You know, it might not be for everybody. Like you were saying earlier, there are many different routes to truth. Some people take like astrology, some people take Catholicism, some people take nothing at all, you know, and they can all, many pass the same principles and ideas, but you don't have to be inherently like a spiritualist type of person to benefit from astrology. It's a tool like anything else. Like a weather forecast is a tool, you know. It's like, if you know what to expect energetically, which is what astrology can tell us, then you can better tailor your responses to what's happening around you. Just like
the weatherman. A little bit,
it was cutting out on your end too earlier, but it came back. Am I okay?
Yeah.
So it's like a weatherman says it's going to rain and then you grab an umbrella, you know. It's like, you don't have to buy into every little bit of it to still benefit and to still use it.
Yeah. I cut out a little bit again. Hopefully it can, it's going to get back on track, but I feel like now we're kind of living in, you know, I guess they call it like postmodernism or whatever, where it's like, there is no truth. Like what may be truth, what may be truth to you may not be truth to me.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, who am I to judge what you believe? Who are you to judge what I believe? It's like, who knows what's true. But so for the most part, when your clients go to you, would you say that like pretty much like 100% of the time that your read on them is correct? Is it pretty much always correct, or are there certain situations where it just turns out not to be true, whatever's going on in their life?
So usually I would say that I have like a like pretty high accuracy rate, probably like 90 to 95% of the time, it's pretty spot on. The thing is that we're dealing with potentials, we're dealing with archetypes here. So unless I know a lot of the details about what's happening in their personal lives, I might not know all the players that are happening around them. You know, I might not know every aspect of their personal life. So astrology is not like we're getting super crazy specific where I'm telling you that it's your aunt's next door neighbor's dog that fucked up your car the other day or anything like that. It's not like that specifically detailed plugged in, because this is more just energy. We're just looking at these potentials. So we're looking at like again, I'm going to use the weather forecast. It's like when they show the maps on the weather forecast and it's like this area, about this area, gonna rain, right? You might be in that area, but maybe the cloud is like stopped half a mile from your house or something, you know what I mean? Like maybe less, like whatever, you know, where it's like it's pretty freaking accurate most of the time. And there are ways to like be even more precise. I'll tell people what I see, and then they'll come back to me the next time, or they'll email me afterward and they're like, you couldn't have been more accurate about that, because it's just like the basic energy is going to be there and you can get in enough to be like, it's probably going to feel like this around these topics here. And usually they'll fill me in on whatever it is, because they'll be like, how could you have known that? And it's like, I'm just reading the language. I'm just speaking, I'm interpreting the language that I see in front of me here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you think is going on with all of it? Do you think it's just kind of like you said, the way that the stars or planets or sun or whatever was aligned, or just whatever was going on during that period is somehow kind of affecting, like, we don't really know why or how. It just,
it's energy. It's energies and it's vibrations and it's frequencies. I mean, people talk all the time and they're like, how could a planet affect me? It's so far away. But it's like, the fucking moon controls our tides. Like, that shit's pretty far away, and the state of Earth's ebb and flow depends on it. You know, it's all vibrational. It's gravity, it's frequency. It's like, I don't know exactly how all the details work together perfectly, but I know that things are interconnected. I know that energy affects energy. You know, that's like basic physics stuff. There is just, there's energy that impacts itself and its and each other, other energy around it. And if everything is made up of energy, everything's impacting itself all the time. And anyway, so
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And for me, I'm the type of person that, like, I don't need to know how my microwave works to use my microwave, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need to know every detail of what's under my car is good to drive my car. I just know that it works and that I can do something productive with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And there's a lot of stuff going on, like, in physics or whatever else that, like,
quantum, like, hello.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Like, we just don't really know why or how it's working the way it is. So yeah, I agree with you there. So, like, if I was to go to you, like, can we do like a little bit of like a test run on me, maybe?
Sure.
Like, yeah, because I feel like that would be probably the best way for me to understand how it works or whatever. Once again, there is like a lag, so we might have to go to like audio only, or the only thing I can think of is like maybe like try and like, for both of us, like, try and move as little as possible, but it seems like the more like somebody moves around, the more like it gets paused, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So yeah, like, let's just try doing like, what would you call it, like an astrology session or something, or what is
yeah,
it?
I'll do like a little mini reading for you.
Yeah, like a little mini reading. So
what's your birth date?
So my birthday is October 7th, 1982.
And what time were you born?
I don't know the exact time. I don't even know if I'd be able to get that right now.
Do you know if it's like AM or PM or anything?
For some reason, I want to say AM, like really early in the morning.
Like before the sun is up?
I think so, yeah.
Let's go with a nice little 4 o'clock in the morning there. We'll just like stick it at 4 o'clock and throw it there. And what city or town were you born in?
What was that?
City or town you were born?
It was Torrance, California.
Okay. So we won't be able to be as like detailed as I would typically be able to without the birth time. But let's take a look here. So you have your sun in Libra and your moon's in Gemini. So we could probably just work with a little bit of that energy there. So what's funny is that your podcast, it's called Conversations with Strangers.
Yeah.
Right. So one of the interesting things about your sun sign, which is your inherent energy, like your identity, how you view yourself, what you value, is that it's in Libra, which is the sign that has to do with relating and connecting with other people, people who are not you, people who have different experiences than you, and finding ways to balance and harmonize relationships with other people. There is probably a strong sense of like fairness and like justice that runs through you. Like, what is fair to you is something that would be very, very important. Being treated fairly you know, would probably be something that you would deeply value. And with your moon in Gemini, so our moon is our inner self. It's like our emotional self, how we interact with ourselves emotionally, our instincts, our intuition is moon, how we feel cared for and secure. That has to do with the moon sign, where the moon was. And your moon's in Gemini, which is a very social sign. So this usually makes someone very quick, chatty, vocal. They like to share their thoughts with other people. They would like to bounce their ideas around and communicate. So there's like this double energy coming in already of like being social and wanting to sample ideas and communicate and asking questions. You might find yourself as a question asker. Well, why this? Why that? This, that. Because Gemini as an energy wants to learn. It's really information oriented. It wants to kind of do a little bit of a jack of all trades, master of none kind of vibe there. So it can like talk a little bit about all of the things, you know, and is constantly looking to like learn. So emotionally, there's a lot of being like analytical, thinking about feelings. Writing is probably like writing, podcasting, honestly, is a good way to engage with your own emotions about different topics, because you get to like talk about, what do I feel about these things? And it also would please some of that Libra sun energy that you have as well, of like bringing in some of that, like, well, let me relate to other people. Like, let me bring people in where I don't know things, so we can satisfy some of that emotional curiosity there. So that's kind of a cool little harmony that you have going on. It's also really nice that your sun and your moon were in really what's called a harmonious position with each other, which means that like being who you are, connecting with yourself, is not something that is a problem for you. It's like who you are and what you need, they flow pretty easily together, which gives you a lot of creative drive there to make action, to take action, to do something with the thoughts in your head and the feelings that you're having, and find ways to bring them out in valuable ways.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all that sounds correct to me, you know. So what are some things that I could like, I don't really want to say like, what's like, you know, what's the point of it, but it's like, what are some ways that I can kind of, I guess, learn from this, or like, you know what I mean? Like, just kind of like knowing, like, know, like, it's just a way for me to like know myself, or is there like,
yeah, that's like definitely a lot of the draw to it for a lot of people. A lot of like, I came to it because I was like, I need some guidance on like, what is my direction? You know, where should I be placing my energy? Now, you're someone who, I mentioned that sun and that moon, nice positioning there, where it's pretty seamless for you to like do things with your own thoughts. There's not a lot of personal resistance that you experience there, but not everyone has that. Like, some people, they face a lot of internal blockages because they can't quite conceptualize different parts of themselves with ease. You have a very nice aspect where it's pretty easy for you to know who you are and how to get there and do all those things, because there's a nice flow of energy there. But somebody else might not know how to do that and might need more words, you know, or ideas or concepts in order to understand differing and maybe struggle points in their own energy there. It helps to raise awareness so that you can show up to your own life, your own experiences, with a greater sense of agency and autonomy. You know, if you know really well what your predispositions are, and you're not a fan of yourself in certain ways, you know, when you understand how that energy functions, what motivates it, it can help you to channel and redirect energy in order to find things that still hit the marks, but are actually productive for you. You know, we can get caught in our own loops really, really easily. We can get caught in our own cycles where it's hard to break out or get perspective on a different direction or a different avenue or just a different way to think or do things. And so astrology can help us like get outside of ourselves a little bit, take a unbiased look at what we need to be taking a look at in order to understand how we can invoke more of our own willpower instead of just getting caught in our own loops and channels.
Yeah, for sure. And then what about like relationships and stuff like that? Do you give kind of like relationship advice based on the astrology?
Yeah. So I love synastry and compatibility charts. They're very, very fun. But I don't tell people that they should only be with this sign or that sign or be careful of Scorpios or anything like that. I find that very counterproductive. If the point that I take away and approach astrology with is to understand and hold more compassion for ourselves and each other, then it would be silly to be like, don't date a Capricorn. Like, you know, that would be ridiculous, because if somebody has something to offer you, you probably have something to learn from it, is my stance on that too. But I really do take the stance of like helping my clients to make informed decisions about their own actions when it comes to relationships and how they relate and what their relationship needs are, so that they can be empowered in their own decision-making processes for their lives. I'm not in the business of telling people how to live. I'm just here to help inform so they can make better decisions for themselves.
Yeah. And so is most of your business from home, like kind of like over Zoom calls and stuff like that?
Yeah, most of it is. Most of it is. I have clients all over the country, and I do readings locally. There's a metaphysical shop not too far from here where I do readings at monthly. I do events. I just did a fundraising event on Friday for a gala for a really great organization called No Woman, No Girl. So that was a delight. I do like birthday parties. If somebody is like having a birthday party, they want to have an astrologer, I'll turn up to those. But my client work is primarily done through Zoom virtually.
Okay. And how do you find most of your clients?
I find them online. A lot of them, word of mouth, a lot of recommendations too, but I host workshops online teaching people about astrology, how to read a birth chart, what the fuck they're looking at when they see a birth chart in front of them, how to use okay. it and leverage it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in terms of like pop culture stuff, I know that astrology is very popular, more so probably among women, right? I don't know if that could not be true, but in terms of pop culture, like, you know, can you name some celebrities where it's like, okay, this person is this, and so they're probably gonna like act, or they all, yeah, like some actually, examples maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I actually have a whole podcast of my own dedicated to just this topic. My co-host and I host a podcast called The Astrology of ... podcast, and it's available on all platforms, I do believe. And what we do is we look at prolific people's birth charts, and we go in and we identify the commonalities and the differences and what their charts indicated and their lived experiences that we use to help back it up and provide like some lived evidence for what we're seeing in the charts and how it energetically plays out. And season one of the podcast has been The Astrology of Killers. And so we have our entire first season out now, and it's just a bunch of mostly serial killers, but a couple of crime of passion people. But we did find that in the couple of crime of passion folks that we did, they were both Cancer sons, and that was Jodi Arias and OJ Simpson. So that was really interesting to see that like Cancer, which is known to be a very emotional and protective sign and energy, showed up a lot in the crime of passion charts where people were killing out of emotions that they were experiencing. So that was very interesting. We also saw a lot of Pisces energy in some of these serial killer charts, which was very fascinating because most of the time people associate Pisces with being very sweet and kind and creative and empathetic and lacking boundaries and all this like kind of nice floaty dreamy kind of energy with Pisces. But then it's like you put it into the context where there are a bunch of serial killers with these energies, and it makes you be like, okay, so that sweet stuff, that's just one side of it. There's something else going on here. And so in our research with that, what we kind of came to was that Pisces, while it is a really nice and sweet and cute energy, one of its main qualities is that it's really impressionable. That Pisces will fill the container it finds itself in. You know, it's highly adaptive, very flexible, and sensitive. And so Pisces is actually represented by the fish. So a good analogy, I guess, I could give for this is that, like, the fish is born in toxic water. It doesn't know that the water is poisonous. It just swims in it. It just lives in it. You know, it's not until you would take it out and try to put it into healthy water where it would be like, oh shit, wow, it's really different out here, you know? So the point of the Pisces energy is that it really just takes on the environment in which it was like, it finds itself in. And most of the serial killers who did have a strong Pisces energy had really fucked up shit childhoods. And so it was kind of like their energy just filled up these kind of already unstable containers and then just went with it, because that's what kind of Pisces does. It just flows. It just goes in the direction that the energy is taking it. And so seeing that in serial killer charts was really very interesting. Just noting all that sweet energy is not sweet when it's not kind of tempered to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually going to ask about killers, or if there's any like signs that you want to, like, you know, stay away from, I guess, or like just bad signs. So it sounds it's not bad,
but that's the thing. And that's exactly the thing, because part of the reason we started this podcast was just to explore the idea that like astrology helps us to understand the human experience. You know, it's like I share energy traits with Jeffrey Dahmer, and I am not doing what he did, you know, but there are certain similarities of experiences that we've shared. So we really wanted to explore, like, what does it mean to be human? You know, that there are so many sides to being human, to having a human experience. And there are 12 basic archetypal energies. Needless to say, people are going to share and overlap with some of their energies. So like, what happens to make one Pisces be so creative? And Kurt Cobain was a Pisces too. Like, what happens to make someone like super creative, and then one person is John Wayne Gacy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then it's like, at the same time, as much as we would hate to admit it, and it's not cute to say so, he was creative. Like, no one did what he did. That was all very original and very much his own thing. It's not good what he did, but you gotta say, you can't deny the fact that he wasn't creative in what he was doing. So there are still tenets, there are still traits that even when they're not manifesting in desirable ways, that still hold true between all these energies. And so it's really about just understanding where their free will failed them, and they just fucking went with whatever impulses that they had, you know, and did not stop to try to grow from their energy and what was going on to redirect themselves.
Yeah. And if you can really quickly go over like an overview of all the different signs. I know there's probably a lot to say on each one.
There is. Okay. But
if you can maybe just go over like each month and then the basics, I guess, for each one.
Sure. Okay. So the zodiac wheel starts at Aries. The astrological new year is Aries, which is the end of March into the endish of April there. So most of April is Aries, and they are instigators. They are bold, they're dynamic, they're energetic, very like pioneer, fresh on the scene, very individualistic in their energy. And then you have from April like 20-ish until like May 20-ish, you have Taurus, and they are stable, grounded, dependable, stubborn. It's about like rooting in with them. They're very comfort oriented as well. Then May 20-ish to June 20-ish is Gemini, and that is very communicative, sharing, exchanging ideas, talking, networking, learning, very, very like quick, lots of wanting to gain a little about a lot, like I said earlier with Gemini. Then from June 20-ish to July 20-ish, you have Cancer, which is about feelings and nurture and caretaking and giving and receiving and protection. Cancer is a relatively indirect energy, and it will tend to like sidestep. It doesn't really like conflict that much, but it is very motherly in general as an energy there, very feeling oriented and family oriented. Then after Cancer, so July, late July into August 20-something, 20-ish usually, is Leo. And Leo is bold, bright, show-stopping, dramatic. They love to be seen. They love to be witnessed. Leo is the kind of stereotypical leader type energy. After Leo, you have Virgo from August 20-ish until September 20-ish. And Virgo is more analytical. It's very detail oriented. It's very practical. It's methodical. It likes to organize and sift and discern information into what is usable and what is not usable. Virgo has a rep for being critical because of their ability to discern things. And yeah, Virgo's main shtick is to optimize and make things more efficient. That's what Virgo wants to do. After Virgo, you have Libra from September 20-ish till October 20-ish. And Libra is the sign of other. So it's really other-oriented. It's about collaborating, relating, sharing, connecting with other people. It tends to be a charming and well-liked and charismatic type of energy. And it is also quite indecisive because it's constantly trying to like weigh out options there and fairness, justice, balance, very tend to be tied up into Libra. After Libra, there is Scorpio, who is October 20-ish to November 20-ish. And that energy is a little bit more intense. It goes deep. It's very investigative, probing. Scorpio likes to get in to the depths of situations. It also tends to be quite private and will not let just anyone know about them. You kind of have to earn trust with Scorpios and kind of prove that you're somebody that they would want to exchange their energy with. It's also a protective sign as well. After Scorpio, from late November, November 20-ish to December 20-ish, we have Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is really much wilder energy than some of the signs that came before it. It really likes to expand, it likes to travel, it likes to experience new things. It tends to really enjoy philosophy or spirituality or any big kind of umbrella topic Sagittarius really likes to engage with, but it really is freedom oriented in a lot of ways. Sagittarius is out there to roam, to adventure, to explore. Capricorn comes next, and that would be December 20-ish until January 20-ish. And that is way more about building, about progress, about next steps, about what are we aiming for? What are we achieving? It's a more serious type of energy. and it really likes to go for its goals. It's really goal oriented and motivated. After Capricorn is Aquarius, and Aquarius is January 20-ish until February 20-ish. And Aquarius is about innovations, doing things differently, spinning things around a little bit there. Aquarius wants progress, and it's very group oriented. It's about social kind of groups, social constructs. There, Aquarius is really highly analytical energy and really likes a big picture and to like problem solve. And lastly, we have Pisces, February 20-ish, usually actually February 18th until about March 20-ish. And Pisces is super creative, kind of boundless energy. One of the things that Pisces can struggle with is having boundaries, because Pisces is about kind of the unity of all things, coalescing together, everything coming back into itself, the lack of division between everything. Pisces is dreamy, kind a lot of the time, but not always. Again, highly very impressionable and subject to their environments.
Okay, great. That was a good summarization. And in terms of like religion, are you religious at all? Or like, is astrology like kind of like linked to any religion? I know I brought up mediums and psychics before, but.
Yeah, no, it's not. Okay. It's a complicated question. Astrology is in many religions, but most people don't know it is in those religions. But like, the Bible is covered in astrology references, like the Three Kings point to Orion's belt as a constellation in the sky, talking about like the bright stars coming down, like being Venus. Anyway, it's all over the place in there. And many people aren't even aware that that's part of like what the books have in them. So the answer is yes, astrology is linked to many religions in various ways, because this was one of the first forms of like connections, like, you know. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but I do consider myself spiritual. I don't adhere to any specific or outlined doctrine of any sort. I'm very intuitive with how I practice my relationship to source and divinity. Astrology does play a big role in that for me, because that is how I have personally found a way to connect with source energy. Because when I'm reading astrology, I just feel like I'm interpreting the big energy around me. And if anything, the universe is the closest thing to like whatever God is, in my opinion. It made us, we are it. It's all the same kind of thing. We're all just embodiments of this larger source that's happening around us. So astrology does help me to like connect to different aspects of that. But there's no like books on whatever I do. You know, I make it up as I go, what feels right to me, what brings warmth into my life.
Yeah. And then in terms of like once again, I asked about the mediums and the psychics before, but I don't even know if astrology is linked to like the dark arts or whatever, but like in terms of that type of thing, like witchcraft and all that kind of stuff, like, do you believe in that kind of stuff?
Yeah, totally. It's all energy. Yeah. Everything's energy. Everything's intention based. If you have dark intentions, you're doing dark magic, in my opinion, whether you want to call it magic or not. You know, every action we take, it's about like, what are we putting into it? What are we planting into it with that action, with that event, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Astrology is used in all kinds of different crafts, for sure, witchcraft and otherwise. But it doesn't have to be inherently tied. Like, you can practice astrology without entering into any spiritual like realms or getting tied up into any belief systems. You know, you could just use it as a tool, as a system, as a language there, or you can make it very deeply intimate and personal in your own connection to source or the universe, which is the route that I personally take but it's just really cool that it's not limited. Like, you don't have to sign up for one to use the other.
Yeah. There's no like church or anything of astrologers, right?
No. Like, well, like I said, it's not a belief system. It's a language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've like never practiced witchcraft or anything like that. And like, if anything, it kind of scares me, but it's always been kind of interesting to me. Like, if you've ever seen a movie like Hereditary or, you know, Midsommar or whatever. You
know
what I
mean? Those are great movies. We love A24 in this house.
Yeah. I love A24. Yeah, and, so good. It's always just been kind of interesting to me, but it's like, you always hear about somebody playing with the Ouija board or whatever, and like crazy shit happens. And have you ever like messed around, like delved in, like played with the Ouija board?
Oh yeah, no, I fucked hard with Ouija boards growing up, but like that was before I was interested in astrology even, you know, it was like tangentially in my awareness. But yeah, I think that there's a really easy bridge between astrology and what I call like the fringe or the occult there. And I think that all spans back to like some of that history we were talking about, where like when Christianity came and said like all divinatory stuff, bye, like we'll burn it, get it out of here. You know, it all got lumped in together there as these are all related topics. And so it's easy to go from Ouija boards to astrology and think that they're like super connected, but they fall in the same, there's a Venn diagram and they fall in the same space in a way, but astrology then has its whole other nuances to it where it's not, we're not speaking to spirits when we're practicing astrology. We're interpreting energy.
Yeah. No. Yeah, for sure. And then like, yeah, it sounds similar to kind of like consciousness. You're like, I've had a couple people on recently who have talked to me about consciousness, and I've always kind of like viewed the world as like, you know, I have my brain, like basically there's, I don't know if you know about like materialism and idealism. Yeah. Yeah. So I've always viewed the world like, I see this desk, it's really here, and everything just kind of like the way that I see it, I'm just seeing it through my brain. But then I've had people on who have come on and said like, no, like they think we're actually living in consciousness. And it sounds like the way that you look at things is more of kind of like, we're living in consciousness. Like you said, with the, I forgot the language you used, but like energy or whatever, like everything is just kind of energy.
And everything is energy. I mean, like that's very science. I mean, it's a very basic scientific fact, but like you look up energy, there's science on it that like, that is what is moving us, you know, like that is what we are made of, matter and energy. And yeah, I think astrology is just kind of a way to, I've described it before as coding. Like some people like to say that we live in a simulation, right? Yeah. And if we do, then we're like NPCs walking around, and what you see and feel is just like what was coded in for us, right?
Yeah.
And if you can, the way I like looking at astrology as like our coding, like each NPC does have its own code. And in a way, we're kind of all NPCs in each other's lives because we're only controlling us, right? Like we're only doing this from our vantage point here. And I kind of get a giggle out of the idea that the birth chart and using astrology is like looking at the coding for like, what is the route that we take through our lives? What are the experiences that are hardwired almost into us there? And so it's kind of just like using the conscious awareness to take a peek behind the scene a little bit there and see like, oh, okay, cool. So like my character, I do this. And then you live it yourself though, like in real time, firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most people go around, you know, just not knowing, like you said, who they are, not even like really thinking about when, unless you are in astrology, not really thinking about, you know, when you were born or anything like that. And like, you just, like you said, you kind of have, you know, you don't know what to do with your life because you don't even know who you are. You know, you don't know why anything's making you tick a certain way. Yeah, I mean, it's all definitely interesting to me. That's, you know, that is why I had you on. And in the beginning, I said I had my doubts, but it's like, it's nothing against astrology. It's just I have my doubts about a lot of, I question everything. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, even said that when I looked at your Gemini moon, I was like, lots of questions. We ask questions about everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was raised Christian, and I, you know, my family's Christian and all that, but it's like, I'm always questioning it because, or not only that, but just everything. And I'm interested in everything, like you said, and interested in people and all that. But I don't know if you have like a hard out at 2. So if you want, we can wrap things up.
I know you got more stuff to do, you said.
Yeah.
So I don't take up too much of your time.
Yeah. I have more. Like I told you before, I book like, as of right now, 4, I'm going to try and cancel the next one because I don't know what happened, but the last guy just like decided he wanted to do it like right away. And I was like, whatever, I'll do it before this one. But anyways, so yeah, I usually wrap it up with like you said, you liked 824. I usually ask like, what podcasts are you into? Movies, TV shows, music, anything.
Yeah.
And then also obviously you can plug your own podcast and anything else you want.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. So go ahead and.
Okay. So just like what I'm watching. Okay.
Oh yeah. Just like stuff that you're like the reason I asked this question is like, I listen to a ton of podcasts. I'm trying to find movies, TV shows, even music, everything. And so I figured it's just a good idea to ask the.
Recommendations for a movie. Just last night, I introduced my friend to Memento. If you haven't seen Memento, 10 out of 10, recommend.
Super, super confusing. Like, I don't think I've watched it multiple times and I don't think I fully understand it. Still.
Oh man, it's a but wild. A good movie. Oh, it's so good. I recently watched for the first time Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Wow. Blew my mind. I was like, this is where it's at. Those are a couple of movies I watched recently, but I've been keeping up with Last of Us on the old Max, and that's been a delight to watch. What a good storytelling capability. Been very into that.
My girlfriend was watching that last night. I'm not as into it as I thought I would be. It's not like I think it's bad or anything. It's just maybe a little bit played out on the zombie thing, but yeah, overall it's good. Yeah.
I like the human components of the stories. I've been actually grateful that they haven't been focusing crazy hard on the zombie parts of it, but that's good. Y'all can listen to my podcast, the Astrology of .. podcast, on Apple and Spotify and all of the major places. You can find us at the Astrology of podcast on Instagram. And my personal website for my astrological work is attunedalignment.com. And you can find me on Instagram at attuned, @attuned _alignment. And that's where I'm located. And thank you so much for having me on, Micah. This has been fun. You asked some different questions than other people who have interviewed me, which is really fun. So appreciate that.
No problem.
Thanks for being open-minded.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't want to come off like I wasn't open-minded, but this has been probably one podcast where I just felt like I wasn't prepared enough because I was like, I know a lot about astrology, but like, really I just don't. And I probably could have done a little bit more research before, but to ask you more questions, but we could probably talk about this off podcast, but when I was trying to find your podcast, it was a little bit hard for me to find. I think I ended up on one that may have not been yours or something. So I don't know, whatever, just give me the link and I'll post it.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, there's one called The Astrology Podcast. And so that's probably where you ended up, but yeah, ours is different, but I'll shoot you the link to the pod.
All right. Great. Sounds good. Thanks for coming on, Laurel. It was great talking to you.
Thank you for having me. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.